As Andy mentioned during Jeff's children's time, Wednesday is Earth Day, and I hope you've noticed within the liturgy we've been using this morning, a reoccurring celebration of the earth, of God's great creation. And we continue that today with our first scripture reading, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. Listen now for God's message to you in this reading of scripture. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmaments proclaim God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voices go out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
This is probably an opportune time to thank our worship staff that comes in on these Sunday mornings to help put these worship services on Facebook, because without them coming in, we wouldn't be able to do this in the way that we do. So I want to thank Betty Detmers and Rosemary Collins for providing the wonderful music. We have Kathy Arnold running our PowerPoint, David Pope on sound. Bill Troutwine is our camera person on the iPad, and of course our associate pastor, Kathy Troutwine. And I should add that we have our church staff who contributes greatly to all of this. Carol White, who works remotely, our church administrative assistant. We've already mentioned Jeff Davis, who's doing such a great job from home. We have Jamie Cotter, who is the director of our preschool, and the entire preschool faculty. They're all working from home. They're still in contact with all the children doing daily activities. Dan McLean is coming in during the week and doing projects around the church building. We are just so appreciative of everybody on our church staff and our volunteers who are keeping things going. Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the sixth chapter of Matthew. It's a very familiar passage coming from a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's that portion of Scripture that we all know as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will God not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the righteousness of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. In December of 1968, for the first time in the history of humanity, a spacecraft with human beings in it escaped the Earth's atmosphere. And for the first time in the history of humanity, in the history of the earth, humans were able to look back and see the earth in its entirety. I'm not sure what you're seeing on the Facebook screen right now, but I'm going to ask Bill if he would to focus for just a moment on what we're seeing here on the PowerPoint screen. We have become so accustomed to seeing photographs from space. The Hubble telescope out in the far reaches of outer space, of interstellar space. We become so accustomed to seeing these photographs that we forget that it was only 52 years ago that human beings for the first time saw the earth as you are seeing it on the screen right now. And then 16 months later, was the first Earth Day, April 22nd, 1970. So in 16 months from seeing the earth for the first time from space, we became aware that we needed to start caring for the earth. 50 years ago. And then 2 years after that, 1972, is when this photograph that you just saw, it's actually a composite of several different photographs, but it was in 1972 on a later Apollo mission that this famous photograph was put together. The Earth floating in the darkness of space. And on Earth Day, we celebrate our cosmic home. Yes, this is home. This is our home in the vastness of the cosmos. And this cosmos in which we live is constantly and eternally changing. We know this. We know this from our scientific discoveries. We know from discovering in outer space, in interstellar space, that the cosmos is constantly changing. Stars, which are suns and solar systems themselves, are forming, exploding, turning into white dwarfs and black holes. It's constantly, constantly changing. So it would be wise for us to always keep somewhere in the recesses of our mind and somewhere, sometimes in the forefront of our thoughts, that the earth, our home, is a temporary thing within the vastness of the cosmos and the deepness of time itself. It is ever evolving. By studying the earth itself, we have discovered the earth's evolution, which is estimated to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 13 to 16 billion years. The earth is a temporary thing within the eternal evolution of the cosmos itself. And so, part of this is that one day, many, many billions of years from now, the earth will cease to exist. It will come to an end. What we have today is a bit of good news and bad news. And we're going to explore what we would consider to be the bad news first. The earth will come to an end. And evolution may be slow to occur in our species and on this earth, but that's in our time scale. In our time scale, we have a hard time even comprehending it. But over millions and billions of years, what we are talking about is inevitable. Let me just go through a brief process of what scientists, from observation and study, believe this process will look like over millions and billions of years. First, humans will become extinct. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Some of them we are even experiencing in our world today. We will become extinct from climate changes. We'll become extinct from radical weather changes. We will become extinct from diseases that we do not know how to battle. We will become extinct through class warfare. We will become extinct through the breakdown of our societal and governmental structures. All of this will not happen at once. It will happen gradually over many, many years, and some of these things are even beginning to happen in our world today. That's the first thing that will happen. Humans will become extinct. The next thing that will happen is that the oceans, which cover the majority of our planet, because the sun will move closer to the earth, and the oceans will begin to boil and evaporate over the course of millions of years. And this will cause our atmosphere to disappear. This thin layer of oxygen and hydrogen and other gases that actually gives us life will disappear. And when the atmosphere disappears, the earth will become one solid rock with dust on it, much like some of our neighboring planets today, Venus, Mars, which are much closer to the sun. And as the sun begins to go through its own life cycles, it will expand and expand and expand until it becomes a giant white dwarf. And that rock that was once this beautiful blue marble will either be swallowed into this white dwarf or rejected by it out into the darkness of space. This is not science fiction. These are scientific predictions based on the history that we know of the evolution of the earth and the cosmos in which we live. I was listening to a podcast this week on being. And the theologian on there studies the scriptures in connection with our earth. And she says that from a biblical perspective, the Bible is always talking about land and care for the earth. And when things aren't going bad, the earth is not treating them well. When things are going good, the earth is plentiful. This cycle goes on and on through our scriptures. And she also says there is a difference between hope and foolish optimism. And in the Bible, we encounter hope, not foolish optimism. And the difference is, in order to have hope, we have to see the depth and dimension of the problem. And until we realize that we live in this finite existence, that our home, the earth, will not always be here, we cannot have a true sense of hope. We have to realize the dimension of the problem. That's the bad news. Now let's look at the good news. Let's look at the good news that we encounter in our scriptures this morning. Let's go back to Psalms. Let's go back to Matthew. In the Psalms, it tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The cosmos declares the glory of God. And that we see this amazing creation in its fullness when we observe the cosmos. But it happens rather silently. Day to day pours forth speech, but there is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. It's going on all the time, declaring the glory of God. And then this last part of this psalm does something that really is amazing. If we just shift our perspective a little bit, it talks about the sun and how the sun rises. And these are the words from the psalm. Rises from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And we think of that as a day. The sun rising and setting. I've always read this psalm this way. I've always heard it talked about this way. But what if we just shift our perspective a little bit and read this from a cosmic perspective? The sun rising from the end of heavens and its circuit to the end. And see this in deep time, not just in the course of one day. The sun in its full evolutionary history. And the last line of this reading says, and nothing is hidden from its heat. This psalm tells us that this beauty of the cosmos is a much deeper, longer story than we imagine. But it is filled with God's glory. And then Jesus in Matthew touches on this same broadness, if we think of it in broader terms. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry of its own. We are to be concerned about today. Today. Jesus says, today's trouble is enough for today. If we think of tomorrow and today in cosmic terms, again, Jesus is telling us there's plenty to worry about in the future. But what we need to concentrate on is today. And I want us to look at this very closely this morning. Because Jesus says today's trouble is enough for today. I took a closer look at this word trouble in the Greek. And what I discovered is it is the word for malice, which is the same root word for malignant. Today's malice, today's malignancy is enough for today. What is malice? What is malignancy? It's not something that just happens. Malice is intentional. It's divisive. It attacks. And not only does it attack, but it attacks from within. That's how malice works in our lives. That's how malignancy works in our lives. And Jesus is telling us today, there is enough malice in our world that we need to be concerned with. There is enough malignancy. There is enough divisiveness, intentional divisiveness, intentional attacks from within. It's nearly as if humanity consumes itself with malice. And Jesus says, that's what we need to worry about. What's going on today? Not what will happen in the future, because the future will take care of itself. This word malice then took me to a very famous passage in our own nation's history that I would like to share with you. It's from Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, which was given in a time which was the most divisive time in the history of our country. The Civil War, the war between the states. And Abraham Lincoln said these words, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and a lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." With malice toward none, with charity for all. Jesus says it this way, strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. The kingdom. Jesus preaches and teaches and models the kingdom throughout his entire life. The gospel stories are filled with the kingdom. And the kingdom is about caring for one another. Putting it in modern terms, the kingdom of heaven is about health care for everybody. The kingdom of heaven is about a livable wage for everybody. The kingdom of heaven is about education for everyone. The kingdom of heaven is about enough food for everyone. The kingdom of heaven is about an equitable society and culture here on earth. We pray it every Sunday, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." This is what we are to strive for. I want to read another paragraph. And this is from an article in Forbes online. It's the same article. I got those four stages of the end of the world from. And that article ends this way. It says, "The world will most certainly end, and that all four of these ends will come to pass is not mere speculation, but the robust predictions of the pinnacle of our scientific achievements. The far future of Earth is known. The near-term future is up to us to create. Let's create that with our feet firmly planted in scientific reality, using the best knowledge and the most successful theories we have to guide us, to ensure the safety, security, freedom, and prosperity of all humanity. It's the ultimate dream of a scientifically literate society, and the one hope we have of pushing out that first end, the extinction of humans, as far into the future as possible. And as I said last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, talking about the empty tomb, we are in a place of amazing opportunity. We are in a place where we have a choice. We have a choice to continue division, blame, domination, enmity, and malice. Or we can begin to live in unity, culpability, cooperation, charity, and love. We only have one home. It's the blue marble floating in the darkness of space. And perhaps it's time that we, as all of humanity, learn to live in cosmic isolation. Because this is our home. And we are called to care for it. Amen. How do we say home? The only home we have, the only home we know, our earth. I want to share as our charge this morning part of an email I received this week. I had a communication with a colleague in ministry, a Presbyterian minister in Georgia, who was actually an interim pastor here at Trinity Presbyterian Church a number of years ago. I've had some communication with Jan Blissett. Many of you will remember Jan, and some of you know her. Jan shared these words with me as we discussed our current situation. She said, "Finally, we have discovered that we all live in the same world, have the same cares and the same illnesses. So it's time we look at what we are doing to make a better world. The ancient people, having few ways of communication, lived in the present, finding food, building a place to live, keeping warm. But easy communication has taken that away from us. So perhaps mere routines of our day can be the basics of our happiness. This virus has shown us there will be no out there for many people. What we do every hour of the day is now important." Let us go today with a new appreciation for our home, the earth. And let us strive for the kingdom here on earth. Amen.